Today on Laura Lynn and Friends.
The Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, founded by Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and the Gates Foundation, CEPI, they said there will be a series of pandemics, and they said there will be only one response, mass vaccination. So I think everybody should be prepared that this is going to come our way.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the beginning of the last days. I'm Laura Lynn Tyler-Thompson. We have an amazing guest for you today, Dr. Peter McCullough, somebody who has absolutely blessed this nation, North America, and the world with his courage. Before we get to that, you know that I did the final interview with Dr. Rashid Buttar, and it was the sadness of my heart. I've been hearing from many of you because you saw my interview on what it was like to interview Dr. Buttar for the last time. And what was very strange to me was that we weren't talking about the bioweapon or, you know, anything that was going on. We were talking about God. Dr. Rashid Buttar and I spent over an hour talking about God, talking about Jesus, heaven, and hell, all on camera. And a wonderful lady wrote me this morning because she saw my interview. And regarding how I felt the Lord leading me nonstop during that interview to be faithful, to bring up what was going on. And not, I had a choice whether I could just start talking to Dr. Buttar about the CNN interview that he'd done or other, you know, things that were pertinent. But instead, my heart kept going to talking about, and Dar was just open this, and he loved it. We had this amazing discussion. It was a difficult discussion in some respects. So here's what a lady wrote. She said, I just wanted to say that I watched you last night on Talk Truth. I found myself in tears and felt so blessed for your faith and being obedient to the Holy Spirit in speaking truth to Dr. Buttar. After the show, I just found myself worshiping the Lord and praying in the Spirit. And as I did, I heard this still small voice of the Lord say to me, He's with me, which just caused me to praise him more. Thank you, my sister, for being obedient as you continue to run your race, knowing that you will see Dr. Buttar again. I count it an honor that God would give me the final hour and a half of a man's life. God knowing that Dr. Buttar would die the next day, that God would give me this opportunity to speak to him and that we would talk about the most important thing on this planet. How do we get to heaven? What does it all mean? And so it was a privilege and an honor to do that. So many of you can see that I'm out campaigning with Maxime Bernier. I'd like to show you why. We have just presented to the media the desire to table legislation for abortion, against abortion in this country. And we want to show you what the current conservative leader has to say about abortion. Here it is.
Polly, if government would not introduce or pass legislation restricting abortion.
There you have it. I believe him. And that's why we're here to say that the heart of God is for babies, babies in the womb, and we don't believe that Canada should continue on a 30-year tumble at 100,000 babies a year. I'd also like to show you the moment when the entire Conservative Party of Canada caucus joined in unison with their opponents, the Liberals and the NDP, to support a bill, Bill C-4. This bill will criminalize any parent that wants to tell their child that they are perfect the way they are, that they should not change their gender, that in fact God made them as a boy or a girl, and that it shouldn't be messed with. Well, apparently the CPC do not believe that that's true. And in cooperation with the Liberals and the NDP, a unanimous vote was taken and every single Conservative Party member criminalized a parent, a psychiatrist, a psychologist, any kind of teacher or a person that is an authority in a young person's life. They could face imprisonment, fines, and losing their license if they dare to tell a child that they shouldn't change their gender. Watch this.
Mr. Speaker, I'm asking for unanimous consent to adopt the following motion, that notwithstanding any standing order or usual practices of the House, Bill C-4, an act to amend the criminal code, conversion therapy, be deemed to have been read a second time and referred to a committee of the whole, deemed considered in committee of the whole, deemed reported without amendment, deemed concurred in at the report stage, and deemed read a third time and passed.
This being a hybrid sitting of the House, for the sake of clarity, I will only ask those who are opposed to the request to express their disagreement. Accordingly, all those opposed to the honourable member moving the motion will please say nay. Agreed. The House has heard the terms of the motion. All those opposed to the motion will please say nay. There being no dissenting voice, I declare the motion carried.
So that is the moment, and you will see that they will clap and clap and clap for over a minute as the Conservative Party of Canada, the Liberals and the NDP, our opponents, the woke cult, basically join together in unanimous consent to criminalize telling your child, your little boy, that he should just be a boy, your little girl, that she should just be a girl, that she should not take cross-sex hormones or get gender-affirming surgery. Our entire Canadian government is unanimous in condemning anyone who would dare to stand against. Against transgenderism that is taking over our nation. And so today what we have and who we have with us is an amazing man, Dr. Peter McCullough. And we welcome you to the show, Dr. McCullough. Thank you for being here. Thank you for standing for this nation. Could you tell everyone your credentials? Because our sheet of paper is so long that it would take us quite a while to get through.
Well, thanks for having me on the program. I'm a practicing internist and cardiologist in Dallas, Texas, and I've been in practice now in my fourth decade. And I've published on a wide variety of medical topics. And like so many doctors now, we are handling the issue of transsexuality, transgender medicine in our clinical practices, since we are witnessing the rise of now these commonplace procedures, surgeries, and what the outcomes are. So I've studied them carefully.
Well, I thank you. So we're very concerned in Canada because all of our schools now have transgender children in them. And I did ask my mom before she passed away how many transgender kids were in her class, and she had no idea what I was talking about. And so this seems to be, you know, a phenomenon of the current culture. And I'm wondering, what do you think has brought this about? And what are your perspectives as an expert in medicine?
Yeah, I trained as an epidemiologist, and this really served me well in my investigative side of my career. And we're witnessing two simultaneous epidemics, which are really stunning. The first is the epidemic of autism and autism spectrum disorder. When I was a kid, autism was 1 in 10,000. Now it's 1 in 36 on the CDC website. There is no childhood illness that has increased in that frequency, nothing even close. It's an absolute epidemic of autism. And then we're also witnessing this epidemic of LGBT, and the T part of that is transgender. The two epidemics are simultaneous. In fact, the epidemic curves match each other almost exactly. So when we see two things that are occurring together, the question is, are they related? And it turns out that Dutch researchers, Van der Meesen and colleagues, published over 15 years ago, at that time, about 20% of young people going forward for transgender procedures, hormones and operations, had clinical autism. This is a stunning revelation. The spectrum of autism is much greater than that 20%. And now a paper recently in Nature Communications by Warrior and colleagues studied transgender individuals with about five large cohorts, over 600,000 individuals. And they're off the Richter scale for autism characteristics. And I can tell you that the Autism Advocacy Network in the United States is strongly supporting transgenderism, and they're fighting legislation in the United States that's attempting to ban transgender procedures and surgery in children. So the connection between autism and transgenderism is secure, meaning the reason why it's common is because young people with autism are moving forward. They have gender ambiguity. They have gender dysphoria. They're uncertain and they're highly suggestible. And I can tell you, it's my experience that they're being preyed upon by those in the transgender movement.
I think that's absolutely correct. We're seeing it happen. And anybody that's struggling with any sort of identity, or if there's other issues going on, I actually spoke with someone who considered themselves a transsexual, and they noted to me that there was many different mental health issues that coincided with somebody who was presenting as transgender. So what are we doing in our culture as we are affirming this rather than having a good solution for it?
Well, I can tell you as a doctor, and doctors, we, by our profession, are very liberal because we take care of, drug abusers and prostitutes and transgender, transsexual, homosexual, bisexual. They're all the same to us. So we have tremendous diversity, equity, inclusion, just in the nature of the practice of medicine. So I don't think anybody has any problem with diversity. But the medical procedures we should look at carefully. So the treatment for autism is largely cognitive behavioral therapy and advanced forms of autistic therapy. And what we know there is that the gender procedures, the hormones in the surgery, actually worsen the psychiatric burden of disease. That's been published. They barely influence gender dysphoria. So they don't solve the issue of someone not being happy with their gender. The hormones in the surgery are about 80% sterilizing, meaning that that person can never change their mind and have children again. That clearly there are disfiguring. We know that mastectomies are not easily reversed with implants or reconstructive surgery if a girl decides to change her mind. That the procedures that create a penis are morbid and the penis isn't functional. The hormones, within about a month, the hormones are irreversible. The ones that work at the level of the pituitary and prepubertal children, the straight androgen and estrogens post-puberty, after about a month, they are permanent. A girl's voice would never come back. The voice box surgery that the men are having as they try to look more like a girl, that can't be reversed, and they're heavily complicated. So there needs multiple surgeries. The complication rate is through the roof on these. And what we're learning is, in the end, largely we end up with a situation where the most disturbing report is by Jackson and colleagues from the UK, recently published in JAMA. Mortality is increased in transgender individuals. Homicide, suicide, and death from all causes. So in summary, the transgender medicine is bad medicine. It actually causes harm. It worsens psychiatric disease, worsens mortality. And, I don't think any doctor or hospital or nurse or health system that's performing this on children is doing good medicine. In fact, they're violating their Hippocratic Oath. They're doing harm. Now, later on, let's say a man who's an adult, if a man as an adult wants to get breast implants and look like a girl, that's his choice. Now, in the United States, under Obamacare, since 2016, HHS and commercial insurances are paying for breast implants for men. What we're seeing in that group is that largely they're getting breast implants, they're dressing up like girls and they're making their faces look like girls, but their penis and testicles are the same. So they have the same male genitalia and they're largely having anal sex with other similar men. So it's largely in the adult population, it's largely just a big gay kink. And in my view, I don't think the public should be paying for this. If the men, of their own decision want to do this, fine, let them pay for it themselves. A recent paper on my Substack indicated that only 5% of men are paying for their own procedures. And so if we remove funding from it Just like, you know, women don't have any funding for plastic surgery. If we remove the funding of this, probably 95% of it would go away.
You know, the shocking thing to me was some years back, I was doing a Bible study in a prison, and a gentleman was there, clearly a guy with lots of makeup on, but he had had his surgeries paid for by the public, and he's in prison. His rap sheet that you can find, he had assaulted a three-month-old sexually. He had drowned a three-year-old previously as a teenager, and now he's in a women's prison, and he's with and near women who had their children in the prison in a mom and tot area. And I find that our world's gone nuts when we can allow this kind of thing to happen. And when you talk about how it's not functional, like, isn't in essence somebody giving up their sexual life and their sex drive and whatnot if they go through these surgeries?
It's interesting. So the adult men are not getting castration. Fewer than 5% get castration. So the adult men who get breast implants, they're largely gay men who are having sex with other men, anal sex. So they're fully functional sexual men. They can't be on women's sports teams or be in female prisons or end up in female restrooms. They have fully functional male genitalia. So the real test is look below the belt. Just because a man has breast implants and dresses up like a girl, he's still a man. Now, the women who are attempting to be men, that's actually far more morbid. The mastectomies are disfiguring, these surgeries to try to create a penis. You know, the penis that's created is largely from a big tissue wound that's created in the thigh or the arm. The penis doesn't have any urinary function, doesn't have erection. And it's very complicated. It's a surgery, honestly, that should be outlawed. I think, honestly, all the surgeries should be banned. In the United States, there are dozens of states that have legislation that's banning this. It's moving forward. There is opposition. And the claim of diversity and inclusion does not supersede medical safety and jurisprudence. So I can tell you, as a doctor, good medicine will prevail. You know, our role here is to preserve life and to combat disease. And with transgender medicine, we're actually creating disease and increasing mortality.
Dr. Peter McCullough, when you see Canadian politicians voting in unison to criminalize a parent or any medical person, a psychiatrist, a sociologist, anybody that wants to speak to a child and tell them to accept themselves as they are, and our political, what you would call the Republicans would be our Conservative Party of Canada, and they are voting to criminalize parents, including imprisonment, for trying to tell your child to love themselves the way they are. What do you say to that?
It's a disturbing groupthink. It's almost now a mass delusional state where the lawmakers don't have any sense of mooring. There's no moral compass whatsoever. You know, almost every child, by the way, as they enter puberty, has gender ambiguity. And the family is the place to sort out gender ambiguity. That's what parents are for. It's very much a core function of parents, just like the parents are excited to find out the gender pre-birth and actually have a nursery that's gender specific. You know, parents raise children in gender specific types of environment. That doesn't go away as children approach puberty. So I strongly disagree with this new trend. You know, even the American Medical Association in 2021 said that doctors should not put the gender on the birth certificate. And in fact, there should be gender fluidity. And, you know, I disagree with it because it's not natural. It's not psychologically healthy at all. All the data suggests it's associated with increased psychiatric problems. So those lawmakers are actually increasing psychiatric disease and will prompt surgery and hormonal therapy that will increase mortality.
Wow. Can I ask you, Dr. McCullough, now that we're getting through COVID's seeming to be behind us, what are you hearing about what is sort of next that humankind might be facing?
All the experts, Tedros, Fauci, Peter Hotez at Baylor in Houston, they're all warning about a next pandemic. They all, actually with great enthusiasm, they're warning. So I think we should take their warning seriously. Why wouldn't we? In a recent paper highlighted on my Substack, or soon to be, indicates that a next pandemic is likely to be another highly contagious respiratory virus. So we ought to get ready. And good thing we've learned as much as we have now. It's clear that we should all have nasal virucidal washes and gargles. That's the first line of defense. If it's another infectious virus, a paramyxovirus, for instance, it's going to be killed with our things we're using now, dilute hydrogen peroxide, dilute povidone iodine, colloidal silver, and xylitol. The gargles, regular scope, regular Listerine are great. Dilute povidone iodine, terrific. But everybody should be armed with this. Nobody should get sick and end up with a sore throat for 5 days, then nasal congestion, then get really sick with an invasive virus. Everybody has to be outfitted with this at home. We know good lifestyle, fitness, and diet play a role. Nutraceuticals and supplements will be there and play an important role. Aspirin, zinc, vitamin D, vitamin C. Now we're using curcumin, a supplement that's largely came out of a tuber in India. And then doctors like myself will find a way to treat it. The lesson learned is prevent and treat. Don't rely on a vaccine. A vaccine is not a primary way to handle a viral pandemic. Doctors will handle it. The government should stay out of it completely, since they really don't have a role in treating patients.
I'm glad you mentioned this curcumin. I just actually bought some on account of Dr. William Mackis, somebody that I think you've retweeted much of his work. We love him as a Canadian hero in, showing how many healthy doctors have died in Canada, how many healthy young people have died from the COVID shot, not from the COVID. And so, do you think, Dr. McCullough, are you seeing in the medical circles that what we're going to face again is yet another vaccine for this next virus that may come?
The Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, founded by Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and the Gates Foundation, CEPI, they said there will be a series of pandemics, and they said there will be only one response, mass vaccination. So I think everybody should be prepared that this is going to come our way. The way to avoid vaccines and actually get through the illness is with early treatment. So I'll be leading the early treatment charge myself and other doctors in my circles, and we'll be far more effective with treatment than they were with the vaccines. That's what happened with COVID. We won the scorecard there, and we'll win it on the next pandemic as well.
I'm really glad to hear that. I think that hearing from folks like yourself that have basically taught us in this last 3 years what the truth is and what the lies are, we've seen an awful lot of people make a lot of money from all of this. And so we know that the WHO, I'm concerned about their desire to actually create a global response team so that all countries in the world must sort of follow their lead. And I haven't seen that they were very good the last time. Have you been seeing sort of some of these actions, and what do you think of that?
The WHO's stated aspiration is to have dominion over all plants, animals, and human beings in the world. This is a giant power grab. WHO doesn't offer any expertise or help to Canada and the United States. We're far more sophisticated than they are. And what we've seen from the WHO is a very, very poor performance. They've been erratic throughout the pandemic. And as this sits right now, the WHO wants this binding by international law. So there's a series of initiatives in the United States. Sovereignty Coalition is one. There are many more. The action is actually to pull out of the WHO. And Trump had the right instincts there. We don't benefit from the WHO at all, neither does Canada. And if we pull out, we're not going to be subject to any of their treaties or any of their stated aspirations for dominion. The WHO is largely funded by China, Gates Foundation, and NGOs. And so at this point in time, we don't need them. We should pull out. I don't intend to follow anything the WHO would say with respect to, you know, an action. The WHO would not have any role in telling me what to do as a doctor or declaring an emergency in the United States. So I think that's where it sits now. I'm going to have to let that be the last answer because I'm going to have to get on. By the way, I'm going on with Richard Scarrett in Mississauga, Ontario in a few minutes.
Fantastic. Another Canadian. I love it. Dr. McCullough, thank you very much for your time. We love you, respect you. You're a hero, and God bless you in your journey. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. Make sure you follow me on my website, petermccullohmd.com, my Substack, Courageous Discourse, podcast, McCullough Report, book, Courage to Face COVID-19. And, you know, I got the number one doctor account on Twitter who's seen patients in the office. So people follow me for the critical advice. We'll see you there.
See you there, sir. Thank you so much. God bless. Oh, well, that was wonderful. Always a privilege when Dr. McCullough, can you imagine how busy he is? And he makes time to be with us. And we've had him quite a few times. And it just is a blessing because some of the finest and most pertinent information that we could ever get comes from Dr. Peter McCullough. And he is amazing. I was so grateful that he was able to weigh in on the transgender issue because I think it's actually really important. I'm going to reach for something here. Excuse me, everyone. I'm out here fighting for Maxime Bernier. Let me tell you something. This transgender thing, it's coming to a little conservative Southern Manitoba. These sleazy books are in the schools that are telling kids that they can be transgender. These perverted books that are sexualizing children at a young age are at, these books are at their eye level in the libraries, in the schools, and it's very interesting that school boards are not protecting us. They are, either they're woke or they're fearful. Both is which is really bad. Cowardice is not a cool thing. It's not a good thing in your life to be a coward, to not be able to stand. All of our elected officials in Canada will not speak against this publicly. They might have opinions and they might say that they are against this woke culture, that they believe that males are males and females are females, but they will not have the courage to speak it out. Do you know why? Because the very next day, Mr. Pierre Poilievre would have them in his office and would be demanding an apology and to set that straight with the public. We have been seized in this country. And I come to you as a Canadian who always voted conservative. I always voted for this. So don't get mad at the messenger, everybody. Don't turn the channel. Don't turn it off. Please just listen. Please listen. We have an epidemic of children that are now transitioning because we have allowed a woke culture to come into our schools, to come into our communities through our broadcasting networks, feed us lies. We dare speak a word against it, or we might be ostracized or called names. You're a transphobe, you're a bigot. Somehow you're also a racist gets thrown in there. And I'm pretty alarmed by it because I started fighting this stuff quite a few years ago. So if you've been watching my show regularly, you know that's true. This is what I value. I value that Maxime Bernier has 5 points. And the very top one is stop the evil gender ideology. He is fighting for leadership in Portage Lisgar. This is a riding where God lives. Let me tell you, there are scriptures down the sides of the road. People have scriptures painted on the side of their barns. They love God. This is an opportunity. Many of the people here have been praying that God would send somebody, a righteous leader. Well, I think that righteous leader is Maxime Bernier. And it would be so wonderful if all of the influencers that are in Canada, I pray for the day that I'm standing on the same stage as my beloved friend, Fatine Grzeski. I pray to stand with her where we are supporting the same guy, where we are supporting the same political party, the party that is representing the heart of God. So Maxime Bernier, his second is Protect the Unborn. Who's doing that in your riding? Your MP. Are you a Christian? Are you just a believer in life? Who is standing for the unborn in your riding? They said they were pro-life and you elected them, right? What does that mean? Does that mean I'm pro-life and I'm going to go along with my party's policy to never implement a, you know, a legislation on abortion? JT, could you prepare Pierre Poilievre's statement again, one more time? Let's see what the leader of the Conservative Party of Canada has to say for all of those people that in his party vote for him because he's the Conservative. This is what he says.
Poilievre government would not introduce or pass legislation restricting abortion.
So here we are. We're in the fight of our lives, everyone. Mainstream media loves to attack, loves to call names. But here's the thing about mainstream media. Let's move on to a clip. You know, when the Freedom Convoy 2022 happened, I was there. I never saw some of the weird stuff that I ended up seeing they were reporting on the news. So we've discovered, actually, that it looks like there's been some real shady shenanigans going on by the press during the Freedom Convoy. They lied to you. They lied. And it looks like they maybe set some things up. The National Citizens Inquiry is going on every day, and I want to show you just a sample of what someone has discovered about the shenanigans of the mainstream legacy media. Take a look.
During the last 3 years, there's been more truth on Rebel News than I've seen on any other media in all of Canada. And I say that as an experienced journalist. Their intrepid reporter, Alexa Lavoie, who I think is one of the greatest investigative reporters in Canada today, noticed that these three pictures were taken by three different people. One of them by David Chan, a longtime liberal photographer. One of them by Andrew Mead, a known Trudeau photographer. And another by Randy Boswell, who's a reporter, a writer, I guess. But he writes a lot about misinformation, anti-vaxxers, conspiracy theorists. This is his. So how did they all get in the exact same place? She noticed that the Peace Tower is in the same aspect ratio, the same distance, depth as in all of the three pictures. All of three of these people were in the exact same spot when that guy unfurled that flag. She was curious about that. These two pictures were the only ones seen of the Nazi flag, and the reason they're still pictures is because it wasn't unfurled long enough for any of the 10,000 cameras in the place to see it and film it. She went to the first one on the left, and she found that it's a little parquet setting. She found the setting, and she noticed that it was nowhere near the protest. It was down on a little walkway. So this entire thing with all these flags was staged, according to the report. The second one on the right is very interesting because the camera angle is from down below. And she tried to reproduce that camera angle, but she had to go down to the Rideau Canal, which was locked and closed because they do that every winter because of the snow. And it's for safety reasons. So she wondered, how did someone get down to that spot in a locked and closed area at the moment that that flag was unfurled? And she pointed out that it was on the west wall of the Chateau Laurier Hotel next to the Parliament buildings. And that angled staircase only exists in one spot. And as soon as he's up to the pillar, he's on Wellington Street. And nobody saw the flag on Wellington Street or filmed the flag on Wellington Street. So that was the moment that that flag was unfurled. And there was a photographer there at the moment to take the picture. So how did that get out so far? She discovered, Alexa Lavoie on Rebel News discovered that the first person to tweet that picture of that nasty flag, the Nazi flag, was Justin Ling, the CBC reporter. CBC website says Justin is award-winning investigative journalist who specializes in stories that are misunderstood. During the last 3 years, there's been more truth on Rebel News than
I do thank God for Rebel News. And some, you know, might say, well, that's maybe competition to me, not really. They're way bigger than us and they're great. And I, because of them, I have also sought to speak the truth and tell the truth. So I honor them. And this is really staggering that it does look like they literally set it up to make the Freedom Convoy look like something and make the people to sully their character, to destroy the integrity of the movement. And that is so evil and so vile. I hope that those three reporters are sacked, thrown out, and that they are never permitted to work again in journalism because of the setup they obviously colluded in. When I was there, I never saw anything like that. It was the largest and most profound move of God that I've ever seen. I witnessed it. We had worship in the streets, grown men crying. I mean, it was hope for the nation. So don't ever let what happened at the very end take away the beauty of that time. The very end showed the evil of our time. But what happened with the entirety of the Freedom Convoy, that showed the beauty and the awesomeness of what Canadians have in their hearts. And we must never forget that because we are still in the fight of our lives. On True North, another great outlet, Allie Phillips is a youth minister at Silver Spire United Church in Ontario, where they are running, get this, a queer kid Bible camp. And they're basically, I don't know if we have that, that is that Twitter page there, I guess, Niagara United Church running queer kid Bible camp. Get away from our children. Get away. I can't believe it that a church is calling themselves a church. So you're a church, you're supporting this nonsense. Did you hear what Dr. Peter McCullough said? This is harmful to kids. And these surgeries are dangerous. You cannot take them back. You're putting people into a high suicidality position, and you're not honoring the word of God, and you're calling yourself a church. I have no idea what to say to you guys. The United Church has absolutely lost their ever-loving minds. Sadly, they're not the only ones. We've got a whole lot of people who are just a little confused and don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, don't want to say anything because the deacon's son is now transitioning, and we're going to call Johnny Janie, you know, pretty soon, and the whole church just can't stand up. Do you know who goes to hell first is the cowards. And I think it is time that we stand up. If we do not speak, you are leaving your next generation and your grandchildren to have to fight this battle. Well, I, for one, I know that my kids are going to look back. My grandkids are going to say, you know, grandma fought this one hard. And I pray we win. But if we do not, we're going to have to take our kids out of school. We're going to have to stop taking them to Sunday school at these churches that are having queer camps. And we're going to have to make a decision to stand up for what's right. Hang on. I might have my lipstick on the back of my tongue again, JT. Uh-oh. Okay. How about this? We've got a video here, final video. No, actually, we've got two. Okay. OBGYN, Dr. Kimberly Biss, previously was not anti-vaccine, but she certainly is now. Take a listen.
So I've definitely gone down the rabbit hole since COVID started, and when they were pushing these shots so hard, I was like, what is going on? So, you know, up until COVID, both my kids, they're 23 and 26, they had all the childhood shots, including Gardasil. I had a flu vaccine pretty routinely. My husband as well. We both grew up getting vaccines. So I was not anti-vaccine. I am now, and my grandchildren will not get any shots if I can help it. The vaccine industry is disgusting. And I will tell you, I am so guilty. I provided so many patients with the Gardasil vaccine. And if you read, I just finished the book, HPV on Trial, HPV Vaccine on Trial. And really the joke, which it's not funny, but HPV stands for Help Pay for Vioxx, because Merck made the vaccine and they just lost their ass financially on the Vioxx lawsuits. Yeah. And they went and paid the FDA to say that their vaccine prevents cancer, and they never proved that in any of their trials. And they only studied it for 5 years. And there were a lot of people that had, and they had a proprietary placebo, which should be salt water, right? But they had aluminum in their placebo. So they could show, see, both arms had the same reaction. So our stuff is safe.
Unbelievable. I know Dr. Peter McCullough, we never talked about this today too either, but he says he will no longer take the flu shots. We've been had, everyone, and we can't trust them. And due to the science, I'm not saying this because, oh, I just say I don't like vaccines, not at all. I actually completely supported that. But I say because of the data and the science that we now have, we need to stand strong. One final video from Glenn Beck. I love this guy. He talks about the profits of war. Do you know how much money everyone gets because we go to war? This is shocking. And it might be why politicians don't necessarily want to get out of wars. Take a look.
Now, look at these dollar signs adjusted for inflation from 1965 until today. Vietnam, $1 trillion. The first Gulf War, it's cheap, $141 billion. Kosovo, we can fart, $9 billion. Afghanistan, $2.3 trillion. Iraq and Syria, $2.8 trillion. The 20-year war on terror, $8 trillion. 20 years of conflict lined a whole lot of pockets and bankrolled the elections of a whole lot of politicians. There is no way that money tree is just going to be allowed to just die off. The lords of war will not accept it. And, you know, wouldn't you know it, another forever war instantly popped up in Ukraine. How's that going, by the way?
How is that going? You know, I appreciate Maxime Bernier's stand that we need to get out of wars that are not our concern, and we shouldn't be funding or facilitating in other areas and plans in other places to go to war. It actually is costly to our country. We do not want war for our youth, our young people, our grandchildren to have to be called to war at any chance. So I just want to leave you today with this scripture that in all your ways you are to acknowledge God and he will make your path straight. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, may God be the one who guides and directs your path and your journey. May God bless you and keep you. My website is lauralyn.tv. Always feel free to go there, check it out. Help us to do what we do. And we just thank you. We're in this together. We will always be in this together. And we do encourage you to think about your position coming up in Canada when you get to vote and you get to cast your vote. Which way do you want that to go? Do you want to support someone who's actually representing your values? Because we do have that. We have the ability to move forward on that. So I appreciate it very much. Thank you, everyone, for your kindness, your love, your support. Thanks for sending me thumbs up and checking in on Facebook to make sure I'm okay. Got a super loud truck up out here taking in garbage now. So I guess it's a good time to go. All right. God bless. Love you, everyone. Bye-bye.
You know, it's not easy to deliver the truth of what our sick world is doing, but for some of us, we feel that we have no choice. Because if we are silent about these abominable things, then we are letting evil go unchecked, and we cannot do that. For those of you wonderful people who are writing me and are sharing your encouragement, I am deeply grateful. Thank you for all the letters that you've been sending. Thank you for the donations and the support. I found out that in order to speak the truth, you have to become very, very strong. If you would go to my website at www.lauralyn.tv, you'll find all of the ways that you can contact me. Remember, my friends, all is well. All is well. Thanks for joining me.